Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Spiritual heritage tours are more than halfway full for 2024, and we're talking about our trips in June and September to Colonial Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, and then a separate trip to Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, and that trip we also go on Saturday to Mount Vernon, George Washington's Mount Vernon. So these tours are led by, I lead the tours with my wife Allison and Wesley and Walker and my sons, and then also Stephen and Beth McDowell of the Providence Foundation will be along with us to give all the history and all the talks of the people, places, and events that shaped our country's earliest part of our history, and then also see our nation's capital and all the sites there that you wanted to see. And we'll have a private motor coach, a nice hotel, we'll eat good, a lot of fellowship with people from around the country.
And if you just want a quick sample of what you would get if you go to spiritualheritagetours.com, we got a brand new video up there that gives you just a 1 minute and 25 seconds. Within the last, yep, I'm pretty sure it's new. Okay. AFS has been working
on it. All right, so here's the website. Again, we go in June and September. SpiritualHeritageTours.com.
Okay, it's not. I'm sorry for interrupting you. You go ahead. You go ahead, Dad.
Okay, I'm your elder.
That's right.
And I'm trying to talk. Okay, and I get through, then you can talk.
Yes, sir.
No. SpiritualHeritageTours.com is the website. Cost the itinerary, everything. Spiritual Heritage. You did it again. I wasn't through.
I thought you paused.
You need to give me more than a second.
Elderly,
I'm 61 years old tomorrow.
Old people get so cranky sometimes.
Am I being cranky? Is that what I'm doing here? SpiritualHeritageTours.com. SpiritualHeritageTours.com. Now you may proceed to talk, my eldest son. Go.
I need to correct myself. Now looking at the video, they are working on a new video. The current video has you with hair. No, I'm just kidding.
It ain't 35 years old.
No, I'm just kidding. No, it is a short video AFS put together a couple years back, and we're working on a new one. But it accomplishes the same thing. It shows you a couple things and gives you a little bit of background of what you're going to experience on our trips.
Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us now. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. I'm staying out of that one.
Yeah.
Y'all are on your own.
Don't get in the middle of a family feud,
no,
right?
No, sir. No,
that's
sir.
The reason you sat off over there in
no
the
need
corner.
To.
Kind of over there.
He's like we all should do most of the time.
Ray and I, we just don't have anything to say about any of that.
Just mind your own business.
Oh, right? Boy.
All right, go, Steve.
All right. Hey, woke is on the chopping block in this country. I got a story about how it's being challenged in some of the financial institutes, but it's not dead yet. Do y'all remember that famous photo of VJ Day, the end of World War II, where that soldier is kissing the nurse?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, the Department of Veterans Affairs has just banned it from all of its buildings. They want, because they say the soldier did not ask permission to kiss the nurse. To foster, I'm reading here,
You're making this up.
I'm not. To foster a more trauma-informed environment, photographs depicting the VJ Day kiss should be removed from all veterans facilities.
Who are you quoting?
The Department of Veterans Affairs.
Did they do this? Did they actually do this?
Or yes. Suggesting yeah. Yes. Yeah. No, it's done.
All right. That's it.
Program's done.
Well, I'm about ready to go to jail.
Are you?
I'm about ready to fight somebody
over
this. This is insanity.
I know.
But this is the Department of who?
Veterans Affairs.
And they're the one taking down
the
this
VA.
Picture. This picture's everywhere.
Now it's
can only take it down in military places, right? Sure.
In their own buildings.
Yeah, but that's an iconic American picture that's they're not going to be able to remove it from everywhere. I saw it just the other day somewhere at a restaurant or something. But the point is, these idiots that now control these federal agencies in Washington, D.C., that are far lefties that came in under Obama. Excuse me. Most of them came in with Biden. They're far lefties, and they hate America. They hate our history. They hate Christians. They hate God. They hate Jews. I mean, these people, they're into the diversity, equality, and inclusion movement. They believe that America was founded, stole property from Native Americans. I mean, these are the same folks, right?
Yeah.
This is the thinking of these idiots that are promote the idea that the soldier is forcing himself on the nurse in that picture. The sailor.
I should be clear before I hear. Yes, thank you. You clarified that. It was a sailor, not a soldier. There is a difference. Veterans out there, I apologize for mis-servicing the person.
I didn't even get that.
These idiots, I said soldier, but it was a sailor.
These far lefties, I'm telling you. They're all these agencies in D.C. now are these people have a lot of influence. They came in with Biden. And even though Biden, for most of his career, was maybe a moderate Democrat, okay, he wasn't a flaming liberal. But when he got in, he had to trade off. Remember this? He had to trade off. That's Biden had to say,
"Get the support.
Let me be the nominee."
That's right.
And in support, and then you can have everything you want, Bernie Sanders. Remember that? Basically.
Yep. And again, you never know what you're going to get with dementia. So,
fair enough.
Yeah, that's true, too. Okay, go.
Well, let me take the other side of the coin then, because we are reading that the financial industry is starting to cut ties with DEI, which stands for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. DEI, of course, is the program that says you have to make everything equal, not give them equal opportunity, but give them equal outcomes. And it's where you have all of the...
it's basically get rid of white people.
Just about.
That's what it is.
You want me to boil it down for you?
Yeah. That's it.
White man evil.
White man bad.
Okay, go ahead.
And
it's called DEI, though.
It's called... Well, they use DEI. It's also kind of in the rubric of critical race theory and the whole bit. But according to Breitbart, Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, the Bank of New York... Mellon Corporation have all and more have all canned their DEI departments. They're
they
out.
They can't afford it anymore. They don't do anything.
Well, not only
crazy
they are
Excuse
paid
me.
A lot.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that.
They are paid a lot, and they don't do a whole lot. But they're also kind of worried about lawsuits, reverse discrimination lawsuits.
Good.
Let me read from Breitbart again. From C-suites down, American finance is quietly reassessing its promise to level the playing field. And this is the article here says the growing conservative assault on DEI, coupled with pockets of resentment among white employees, have executives moving to head off accusations of reverse discrimination.
Yeah, lawsuit threat.
Ray, any thoughts on this?
Well, it's about time.
Yep. Amen, brother.
Anything that would stop the DEI steamroller, which has already destroyed so many schools, so many universities, so many colleges. And so many big corporations. Hey, Steve, this is some good news.
Also,
I think it is.
Do you have the Florida story?
No, which one?
DeSantis University of Florida
getting the DEI out of colleges in Florida. Yeah, I can pull that up.
Related to this, the other day, Governor Ron DeSantis and credit also the state legislature of Florida. They passed a law saying no more diversity, equality, and inclusion being taught on state college campuses. And the other day, the University of Florida had to announce they were closing it all down.
That's right.
I guess they had branches across the state, but the main was in Gainesville. And it was like, we're having to close. Did you see this, Ray?
Yeah, and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
People think elections don't matter. They do matter. You put in a guy like Ron DeSantis with some backbone, and this is what happens.
Right.
It's good.
And paraphrasing the reason behind that said that we need to be able to include everyone.
Right.
Which only makes sense, right?
Yeah, you know, what's crazy about this movement, which I don't believe the majority of minorities subscribe to
in this country. I don't think so either.
I, I don't think a majority of black folks are in favor of having a national anthem for black folks and a national anthem for white folks or for everybody else. I don't think a majority of black Americans, I know this is not true, believe in we ought to have segregated graduation ceremonies. Well, this is what these people push. That's in the name of racial equity, they push division all the time.
And one of the areas in which this backfired and became more popular to where they had to address it is when the DEI, the woke movement, began to exclude Asian Americans in colleges when it comes to getting funds or getting scholarships. That's when it became, well, they're like, oh, wait a minute. We were trying to keep the white people out. Well, now we're kicking out Asian Americans. They're like, oh, we got to answer this. Well, it's our policy.
So, yeah. And some of these schools and universities are advocating for segregated dormitories.
That's right. And workout facilities.
And I'm going like, and these are people on the left.
Yeah.
And they're saying, oh, we want segregated dormitories. And I thought, boy, if things change.
The 50s called want their segregation back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, isn't that bizarre?
Well, could you imagine in the 1950s or 60s if a school said we're going to have only a black-only graduation?
But you did have that back in those days because of segregation.
That's right.
You did have that in much of America, maybe not all of America. What I'm saying is, we've come full circle now, Ray.
Right. Now we're back where we started.
Now now the liberals are wanting segregation.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We had the civil rights movement, which accomplished a great goal of ending the Jim Crow laws and bringing the schools together and integrating society. And so now, Tim, we've come all the way back to where this race here, that race there.
I know.
How is this progress?
Coming back to the story that Steve.
But the good news is, excuse me for interrupting here.
You can do that.
I can do that. I'm the elder.
That's right.
But the good news is here, this is dying. This diversity, equality.
Equity.
Equity.
It's played out. It's playing out and being played out. It's not working.
It's showing to be it doesn't work.
That's right.
And people don't subscribe to it. It's being trying to be force-fed on us.
Mm-hmm. It has
by these far lefties that in colleges and universities, for example, who want to. They go all the way back to we're Americans are living on stolen land. These are the same kind of crazies that push this stuff.
Obviously, they're back to the story Steve brought up. Now, their primary reason would be being countersued for discrimination, which is a legit thing to be concerned about. But something that I didn't think about until you brought this up is there has to be a discussion, too, to be had. They wouldn't want to say this publicly, but they have to be taking a deep sigh of relief of the bloated funds that they're putting toward these types of departments.
They can't afford it anymore.
Now, they wouldn't tell that. That wouldn't be the reason they wouldn't want to go.
I know that.
But they have to be thinking a secondary.
Where can we make cuts? Well, we don't need this DEI anymore.
Yeah, we just hire people.
We're
qualified.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think we might have mentioned this yesterday. In one of the meetings or discussions I had yesterday, we said this. But there's a mistaken issue right now with some of the radicals on the left who think that the reason that the black community is poor and not as well off as the white community is because of slavery and the Civil War. And there's still having the effects of that. But what they don't remember, did we talk about this yesterday? In the 40s and 50s, the black community was doing great. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jim Crow notwithstanding, that there were some grave inequities, but economically they were thriving. Their families were together.
Sure.
What drove them apart was Johnson's...
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday.
Yeah, so and that has everything to do with the DEI thing as well. I mean, they're trying to fix things that the reason that there's these inequities is because the government has built them in.
Listen, all you can ask for in America is opportunity.
That's it.
Opportunity to succeed and to make your life better. And that exists for everybody right now. Everybody. It did not used to, but it does today. It exists for everybody. Opportunity is there to take advantage of America, to succeed with education, with living right, with hard work, with responsibility. I sound like a Boy Scout. They think I need to raise my hand right here. But, I mean, all those things, the opportunity is available to everybody. We see that.
But yeah. at what I believe the peak of the most opportunity for everyone is when the far left begin to introduce DEI. And that's when you see the drop the other way where they're trying to enforce the diversity, equity, inclusion. It was going back the other way, but the benefits, but people that were Caucasian were getting fired, or they're not getting the opportunities that the woke was all, or the DEI was offering. Does that make sense?
No.
Okay.
No.
Let me say it this way. At the peak of the most, where America was the most opportunist for everyone. Everyone had a free opportunity. Everyone was equal. Everyone did everything, could had the same opportunities. At that point, it seemed to me like that's when the far left and the woke began their DEI, which then began to exclude people based on their race.
Right.
We were going back the other way.
Right.
And it seems to me now that played out.
Yes, you're saying they promote racial discrimination against white people, and namely white males.
That's right.
Yes, that is true.
And we're going back the other way.
That's
the
whole part
way.
Of it.
Yep.
You have to drag the white males down so that we build everybody else up. Go ahead, Ray. Yep. Do you want to?
Well, you know, just take that one sentence. They promote racial discrimination.
Right.
Period. Just right there. That's what DEI does. It's a divisive doctrine that is meant to separate people.
Right.
Whereas, as you said, Wesley, very well, America had made so much progress.
Yes.
I can remember the old days. I'm old enough to remember what it was like.
Sure.
Growing up in the segregated South, we have come so far. And DEI promotes the kind of discrimination we thought we got rid of a generation ago.
Right, which means, really quick, by the way, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. And you can get us on the internet at AFR.net, AFR.net. We have an app available, an AFR app. You can listen 24/7 to any of our shows on our American Family Radio app. That's what you're listening to, Tim, Wesley, Steve, and Ray. I'm glad this is failing.
Mm-hmm. Sooner than later.
Yeah.
But it's going to fail.
It's going to fail because it's useless, quite frankly,
right.
Except to push. These people want to push cultural Marxism.
Yes.
But they want to push racial hatred.
Mm-hmm.
They're the same people who say, you know, as I said, they're going to talk about colonialism. They're going to talk about oppressor oppressed, and they divide us.
The left America angry.
Yeah.
They need us angry because that's how they think they get the vote out.
And they hate America. They want to see America fundamentally changed.
They do.
Our institutions, our traditions, our cultures, they can't stand them.
And Wall Street's saying, okay, we're moving away from DEI.
Good.
Yep.
Good.
Universities, now Wall Street.
That's good
news. Hopefully we can get this type of stuff in public education as well.
Listen, I know Governor DeSantis is not going to be the nominee for the Republicans. Now, he might be in 2028. But he has been killing it in Florida.
Blueprint.
Huh?
We got us a blueprint now.
Yeah, I'd rather call it a red print, but if you want. That's all right. I understand what you're saying.
That's right.
It's a blueprint by a red state governor.
Yes.
But he's been killing it in Florida in beating these lefties at their own game.
Ben Johnson, we call it a white print.
Yeah.
and we're seeing the liberation and the benefits, the positive benefits of conservative policies.
Yeah.
So you're not just having it in theory, you're seeing the actual benefit of it, and which is why I'm saying that I think what he's doing is going to spread not just from ideologically but in practicality, because it's one thing to talk about what conservative values can do. That's another thing to show you what conservative values do, and that's exactly what he's doing in Florida.
Yep. Your next story, Steve.
All right. This is a little update about something we talked about yesterday. Remember yesterday we talked about the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals saying that Texas could enforce its own immigration law because the federal government wasn't doing it. So Texas decided they were going to arrest illegal immigrants when they caught them. Well, the Supreme Court weighed in on this. They put the Fifth Circuit, put it on hold so that to give the Supreme Court the opportunity to. The Supreme Court has said, no, you cannot enforce your own. We're going to put a pause on you enforcing your own immigration laws while we decide what we're going to do with it. So the rule is now blocked until March 13th, which gives the nine justices time to determine what steps next to take. So it's not a ruling based on that they don't think it's constitutional. The Supreme Court just wants to be able to sort this out. And so they're telling Texas, wait before you start arresting illegals.
This is the law Texas passed to allow their police officers and or law enforcement, state I'm talking about, and local, to arrest people here who are here illegally and what, turn them back over to ICE and that kind of thing?
No, they just, well, arrest them, and I don't know if they're deporting them themselves. ICE isn't going to deport them. ICE is the, isn't, aren't ICE the ones along with Border Patrol that are letting them go?
No, ICE, as far as I know, ICE is still deporting people.
Okay, maybe they're turning them over to ICE.
Well, what I believe this does is allow for Texas to enforce the immigration laws that the federal government should be enforcing.
That's the way I understand it.
But
right.
Anyway.
Right.
But because Biden and company. By the way, interesting. Did you notice the comments by the gentleman who's retiring as Border Control?
Yes.
What's his name?
Raul Ortiz.
Do you have that story in your stack?
Yeah, I do. We have just a little bit of time. Let's play. So this is Biden's Border Patrol commissioner, and he says in the whole 2 years that he was doing this and the borders being flooded, he never once talked to the president. And this is...
Or vice president.
Cut 11.
I've never had one conversation with the president or the vice president for that matter. And so I was the chief of the Border Patrol. I commanded 21,000 people. That's a problem. We need to make sure that Central America, South America, Mexico, that those regions understand that if you pay a smuggler and you cross in between the ports of entry and you do not have a legitimate claim to some sort of asylum benefit, you're going to be sent back.
Do you believe that the White House has sent mixed messages to migrants?
Yeah, most definitely.
That's a gentleman who, he's retiring, so he's speaking freely now, who is being interviewed there, and he's in charge of 21,000 Border Patrol agents.
He was responsible for.
Yeah.
And he said, I never once spoke to the president, being Biden, or the vice president,
the
Harris.
The borders are Harris.
Well, Harris was, yes, Harris was put in charge of the border, and she never spoke to the border. Of course, we all know that was a joke.
Right.
The only time she went to the border was to the El Paso airport. I think she went to the hair salon while she was there.
And by the way,
bought a handbag.
We have discovered Biden's real reason for going to the southern border. He just went last week. According to the Babylon Bee, he went to the border to hand out the I voted stickers.
Babylonian Bee, well done.
Babylon Bee.
Well done. Well done.
All right, Ray, thank you.
You bet. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Thanks to Wesley, Fred Jackson, Brent Creeley, our producer. Is anybody else on? Is that it?
No, that's it. Fred. It? You got Fred, didn't you?
Yeah, I got Fred. Right. Included Fred. All right, have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening to AFR. See you tomorrow.